A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Support WrestleTalk!
Donate on Patreon.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I tried to do that really flatly. Michael Flatley. I'm Ollie Davis and I'm joined by Luke Owen.
Hello, Swerve Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis. How the devil are you?
So I started off today's show in the video version, so the main part of the show, with, I started talking in the intro, and now I'm, and you said, usually you save that stuff for the podcast, and I'm thinking, is that because it makes it difficult for you to edit?
No, because I cut out those intro portions anyway.
Oh, but I had some great points in my... Between saying, I'm Ollie Davis, and I just put in a bunch of guffins, here's Luke Owen.
Yeah, that's not going on, I'm afraid.
Well, check out the video session.
So, you asked for potential names for Randy Datsun fans.
Yes.
Ledge has suggested Andy Datsuns and Sisters.
That's good, but... I don't think any woman likes Andy Datsun.
No. My wife had a suggestion as well. She told it to me last night while I was making dinner, and I've forgotten what it is. I feel like it's a play on audience, like an Andience or something like that.
Andience isn't
the
that
Andience.
Good.
She was really proud of it, but then she had to explain it to me. And she was
those
like,
are the best
that's
ones.
What I said. I was yeah. like, those are always the best. Much You from New Zealand. I can say like Mount You. Since Randy can only be addressed in group greetings as and definitely not Randy Datsun, I feel his fans should be either definitely not real fans or definitely not Swaff Nation. Cheers, mates. Keep up the consistent work. Mount You from New Zealand. Well, he says it's Much You. Much You. Okay, Much You.
I like the idea of them being addressed as not real fans because that just implies Randy has purchased a large swathe of Russian bots.
Yep.
And those are the only people coming to his aid
yes.
to cheer for him.
I like that as well. Yeah. On the question of negativity in the podcast.
The power of negativity. Oh, YouTube! Or podcast. I forgot where I was.
Tom emailed in to say, hi, Luke, Ollie, Laurie, brackets, and obviously not the big red monster, Randy Andy Datsun. I just wanted to say that I've
few
heard...
things bring me more joy than people not saying hi to Randy.
It is funny. I just think it's... We have gotten to the point now where we no longer call him Andy, which is his name.
Mm.
We just call him Randy.
Yeah.
And that stems from YouTube comments mishearing what we said when we said Andy.
Mm.
Which in turn does make me laugh a lot.
And because Randy, like it's not so much of a thing in the States, but Randy,
yeah, Randy
over
Marsh.
Here. Yeah. Randy over here means feeling a little bit frisky.
Horny.
Horny.
Anyway, Tom emails in to say, I just wanted to say that I have absolutely no qualms with your, quote, negativity on the podcast. On the contrary, you quite clearly state that it's merely your opinions and supply us with a fair share of objective critique of the shows. The disappointment in regards to the NXT call-ups, particularly the misuse and the abundance potential of those lads have. Love your podcast and videos. Thanks, Tom.
So I was thinking about this. I've been thinking about it a lot this week. I've been sent into a spiral of self-reflection and despair by WWE's booking. And... there's this thing that Gretchen Rubin says, who's a psychologist. She always says, one like a pop psychologist writer, that if there is an absolute truth, usually the complete opposite is also true.
Mm.
And I was thinking about that in terms of the call-ups and how much I despise them and just the way they've been handled. But then, like, it's obvious that for a whole bunch of people, they thought it was great and surprising. And those things can both exist at the same time and not contradict each other because they're opinions.
Mm-hmm.
And I can hold in my head the idea that someone might enjoy these without discrediting them as a person. It's called cognitive dissonance, where you can have two ideas that are conflicting in your head at the same time. So I don't know where I'm going with this. I'm still working it through.
It's good, man.
It's just that people can love people and we can all get along together. But I can still say I thought Monday was in awful.
There was there are a few people on our Patreon, our Pledge Hammers, who think you've turned heel.
Oh, no way.
Because you didn't like that episode.
Really? Names
team
and
LOL.
Addresses.
Well, Team LOL is the one who said that if you gave it a bad review, you will have officially turned heel.
Mm.
I still don't get what that means in terms of being a YouTube personality.
Turning heel?
Yeah.
I guess it's you've become a bad guy in my eyes.
But then what do you do after that?
You turn babyface again when you No, you just get called up to the main roster.
Oh, I see.
Randomly. Yeah. and ignore everything you'd said.
I see, I get it now. Robin also emails in to say, "Hi guys, just wanted to weigh in on the negative response to your negative show on Tuesday." What the hell? Why are people so insistent on you being positive if the subject is the absolute pit? I'd much prefer to listen to an honest assessment of the product than a sycophantic. Did I say that right?
That's good.
It's like a fancy load of nonsense like some podcasts have become. Cough. I'm not going to name the podcast that you
can
say.
Can you show
there.
It to me?
I can do. It's the one in brackets there. Because I think I very much enjoy their podcast. They are praising of the product at times when I'm like, guys, come on. But I do think they are.
I think that's a fun bit of shade.
But
only me, you, and the emailer know about this.
But also I would say that I think they are fair in some of... They are critical of the product and do wish it to be better.
Mm.
But at times they're like, oh, I think this is really good. And I'm like, guys, really? Are you sure?
I guess if you do a WWE podcast, then it's fine if you only watch WWE.
Yeah.
But if you do a wrestling podcast, you should probably watch other promotions. That's all I'll say.
Diamond emails in to say, "Ahoy, Ollie, Luke, Laurie, and not the voice of angels, Randy Datson. On the millions of millions of comments saying you were negative, I'd say you were usually very positive, especially concerning WWE. I'd even go as far to say you are WWE fan people. When you are, quote, negative, you're obviously just disappointed in WWE, and it's quite easy to see that you are WWE, quote, mega fans who really care about the stories, characters, and wrestling on the shows. Also, you always explain the reason why you're disappointed and don't just spread hate without reason like most of the internet. You can certainly pat each other on the shoulders for being extremely consistent. Just get a switch, Luke." That's from Diamond Crusader, who is one of our pledge hammerers.
Nice. Maybe that should be our next goal.
Yeah.
Luke gets a switch.
How are we doing for time? I did actually get this because, I mean, I said this on the NXT podcast, but we've had a few people emailing in questions for us to answer on the podcast. The point I made was, that's not what the mail, like, that's why we have a mailbag on a Saturday show. You've got to become a pledge hammer if you want to hear us answer your questions. But I did want to address this one from Jacob, who says, "Hi, Wrestle Team. AEW is going to change the wrestling landscape. Will it change the WrestleTalk landscape? We all know WWE isn't good, but it's what you guys built your brand on. Will we see a shift in WrestleTalk if AEW becomes the new powerhouse? Note, I know it will take years before AEW takes over, brackets, even if it ever does."
Well, if you go by some YouTube comments, we are already only exclusively covering AEW and never any, and no longer any WWE stuff.
There was a period of time where people just go like, you may as well call this channel WWE Talk because you never talk about anything else. And then you talk about other wrestling. And I just want to hear about WWE news.
So I was thinking about this week because the speculation, I think it's pretty informed speculation on Meltzer's behalf and just other people, because it makes sense, is that SmackDown's going to move to Friday nights on Fox. For how long, we don't know, because that Fox guy said, oh, well, you know, I don't know, maybe it'll go on other nights to see how it does. So that leaves this Tuesday night slot free. And
the idea is, when AEW trademarked a bunch of names last year, one of them was Tuesday Night Dynamite. And all the other trademarks they had have come to life, like Double or Nothing, yeah. All Elite Wrestling, obviously. I think there were a few more. But Tuesday Night Dynamite, to me, says that is a weekly TV show. A great name for a weekly TV show. Unfortunately, we don't really want to come in every Saturday morning to review SmackDown. I don't know how that's going to work.
Yeah, we have. I mean, it was funny because when they announced that deal, we said, oh, we'll work that out at some point. And we have never discussed it since.
Yeah, it's getting closer. but if AEW's got Tuesday Night Dynamite on Tuesday nights, that can easily solve our problem.
Yep, it certainly does.
So that's like, yeah, one of... I would love to do a Ramble record show of those. Every big event they do leading up to then, just like we did for... Well, I did a 4-minute review for All In because both you and Laurie were away.
Yep.
But we'll definitely do a ramble when that's done. We've already been covering loads of news. Yeah. Look, we cover what we like and what's popular.
That's it. It's audience demand. And unfortunately, the audience is not there to demand us to cover anything else at the moment. Like, there's no one's asking for us to do weekly Impact reviews or weekly Ring of Honor reviews because there's a much smaller demand for it. I'd also argue that the WrestleTalk brand built itself on Impact. Certainly on the back of TNA, in the challenge days. So if AEW is a massively popular thing at the moment, when they launch a TV show, and I do think it is a when rather than an if, when they launch a TV show, I'd imagine there will be a demand that we do a review of that TV show.
And rightly so.
Whether that demand sticks around is a different matter, but... I think in the early days, like, for example, we knew that the request to do weekly NXT UK reviews was going to die away, and no one ever asks it anymore. So I just wanted to bring that up. We've got an email in as well about my barbershop trip that I wanted to read out, but we'll do that in the outro because first we've got to talk about those NXT call-ups. Speaking of all this quote-unquote negativity on the podcast, what is next for the NXT call-ups? Here's the show.
This week we had the NXT call-ups of Aleister Black, Ricochet, Johnny Gargano, and Tommaso Ciampa on Raw. Triple H just came out and he introduced them.
Can we say call-ups in inverted? Like,
I guess this all ties into us figuring out what's gonna go on. And I felt like on that episode I went through rage. I was initially raged and I was shocked, and that still bubbles up every now and again.
Mm-hmm.
And then SmackDown happened, and those same wrestlers were on SmackDown too. And now the report is that they're going to wrestle on Raw and on SmackDown and still on NXT.
Because they've done the NXT spoilers. You've read the spoilers?
Yes, I have. But
we're trying to avoid them as much as we possibly can do. But yeah, suffice it to say, they are across these NXT shows in one way or another, and it's not tied into what's happened on the main roster stuff this week, despite the fact that they filmed it on a Wednesday after Raw and SmackDown.
Yes.
So, me and Laurie said this in the NXT review, the Wrestle Ramble. We have decided that we're just going to treat the NXT review exactly how WWE treats NXT. It's just a different continuity. We're not going to reference, or at least we're trying our best not to reference, Raw and SmackDown and what's happening up there. We're just going to talk about NXT and try and ignore Gargano and Ciampa being babyfaces as a tag team on Raw and SmackDown.
So this is the problem. I try not to get sucked into the hate vortex, and I was doing a pretty good job of it, I thought. After the Raw outburst, we sat here and we reviewed SmackDown, and we were like, you know what? You can't deny that this is a surprise, and you can't deny that these guys are great wrestlers. And, you know, I don't think SmackDown had anything wrong with it, but on Raw, it's going to be a lot more fun week to week if you just remove the fact that there was no substance or reasoning behind these call-ups. It's going to be more fun to watch Raw and that really desperately lacking main event scene, and really a weird mid-card as well that's just been stuck in limbo for ages, because you've got four incredible wrestlers and they're like all-rounders. All four of them are really engaging promos and character storytellers in the ring, and just great technical wrestlers on top of that. And so I started to get around that way of thinking, and Dave Meltzer and Brian Alvarez had like a far more positive review of Raw and SmackDown than I thought they would. And I was like, okay, maybe I'll temper what I was thinking about a bit more. Let's just look at it going forward rather than the mistakes of the no setup and everything. Just like be happy about what's going to happen in the future, Ollie. This WrestleMania season is coming up. Maybe this will even tie into that weird bit of fantasy booking that's probably not going to happen with a Triple H hostile main roster takeover. But then I'm searching for this image for my news. I'm looking for the image where Ciampa turned on Gargano. And it's
Takeover Chicago
when he threw him into the Titantron after the copyright logo appeared, and it was devastating. I was like, well, that's the image I wanted. God, what a moment. But then, a few images over on Google Images, was the shot from the end of their Cruiserweight Classic match.
Where they sat next to each other, the arm round.
Where this all began. And Gargano is just got his arm round Ciampa. Ciampa looks pissed, but also kind of reserved about it, and like he's working his emotions through. And of course, that was the start. That was the seeds that blossomed into this incredible feud.
I remember Vinny of Brian and Alvarez fame, Brian and Vinny fame rather, saying like when they were reviewing the Cruiserweight Classic, he was like, I thought they might do the heel turn then, because they'd been sort of teasing there'd be a possible heel turn for Ciampa. But they didn't do it. Instead, they did this incredible moment, which will just make the inevitable heel turn so much better.
Yeah. And I looked at that image and I mean, I knew, it's not like I was caught off guard by that image, because I knew that happened. I love that moment, but it just reminded me of how long this story's been going on, how subtly it's been told, how into both guys I am. And now they're on the main roster, which is great. Great that they've been called up. Great that they're getting the exposure. But, I mean, my worry was that they were just going to scrap what was going on in NXT and say, hey, they're up in the main roster now. NXT, you don't get to finish this story. But as Luke alluded to from the NXT TV tapings that happened on the 20th of February, which, to my understanding, will take us through to WrestleMania.
I don't think it takes us almost through. I think they've probably got one more set of tapings before we get there.
So it's got the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic on there. So I guess you can kind of see where that might be going with Gargano and Ciampa. Maybe participating in that together. Anyway, whatever.
Or on opposite sides.
And it seems they are going to continue to tell the story in NXT of the Ciampa and Gargano story as if the main roster call-up has never happened. As if they weren't just tagging as babyface characters on Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah, from what I can gather, from what I've read, it is referenced. But it's kind of like, it sounds like it's a reference that's then quickly sort of swept under and just be like, let's sort of continue on with what we were. It felt like this was going to be the plan regardless, but they just added that little nugget in there to try and make sense of the main roster thing. Because it's really funny to watch this week go by. Because on Raw and SmackDown, you had Ciampa and Gargano as friends saying, we're doing this for NXT, we're doing this to take over, to show who we are in backstage, and their baby faces. And then on Wednesday, you had a backstage segment where Johnny Gargano looked at Ciampa and said, I don't need you. I've never needed you. I don't like you. I've got everything I need right here. I won this title on my own. You're like, that? And that's what drives me nuts. When people keep messaging me going like, it makes sense. It totally makes sense. It's all within the same story. And I'm like, it really, really isn't.
Yeah.
But Ollie, I mean, I've got to say, this is what you wanted. You wanted them to just redo the storyline on the main roster. You got what you asked for.
Well, we've been over that. Of course, the answer is, wait till the first story's finished and then you can redo it again.
You wouldn't reboot the MCU before Endgame.
Yeah. So when I heard that, I just felt like, now the uncertainty's been lifted over how the NXT wrestlers are going to be used in NXT continuity and main roster continuity. Maybe the uncertainty was making me more anxious than just knowing. Because now I know that they're just going to continue to tell the story that they were always going to tell.
Which is good.
And they're just going to treat the main roster the same way the main roster treats NXT, which is just a one line of dialogue on commentary and proceed with what the other brand is doing.
Or, and this is actually, I mean, I've just been thinking about this today, whether this potentially could be a good thing.
Well, that's what I was going to finish saying. I think, like, it's almost, I almost prefer it that we just know Gargano and Ciampa are going to get to do their thing and it's separate.
The point I was more going to make was that one of Raw and SmackDown's biggest problems that it has is that they're both rewritten on the day. They're rewritten hours beforehand. There have been stories like half an hour before the show goes on air. The script isn't finished. It's like proper flashbacks to Nitro and like Nitro being rewritten as the show goes on because Vince McMahon just wakes up and changes his mind and the scripts get changed, this, that, and the other. In theory, Raw and SmackDown have their Gargano and Ciampa and Black and Ricochet segments already written out for them because they can just go, right, what are they doing on NXT this week? Okay, well, if we write this, that will then make sense for this coming week's NXT, or it makes sense to last week's NXT. So in theory, those segments should already be panned out for Raw and SmackDown and just plotted out in advance, and that way it can all tie together. Perhaps I'm being a massive optimist there, but that in theory should work.
I think it would be stilted, though. It's like, you know how like back in the day, SmackDown just used to be a replay of Raw?
The recap show, yeah.
Yeah, the recap show.
And they wonder why attendance is down.
Yeah, yeah. And back when I was growing up and I first started watching SmackDown, it was almost like Raw was where the big angles would happen and SmackDown is where the wrestling matches would happen. And maybe you'll get a tiny cliffhanger, but really all the big, it's the setup Raw. The way you're saying it is it would almost make NXT the main show and the Raw and SmackDown stuff would have to just drop in around it as the filler stuff. And I get that point. And for my continuity soul, that sounds lovely. But I think the horse has already bolted. The train's left the station. Other metaphors. And we've just got to get used to the fact that NXT is a separate continuity to the main roster. And I am now going to treat the main roster as its own distinct thing. Sure, it might reference this nebulous history that might have happened before in their cherry pick.
And just NXT like how, sort of nebulously references it as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, just like how the commentators sometimes say, he won a title in Japan.
Yeah,
like,
he's from 205 Live.
Yeah, so it's just, it's not ideal. It's really damaging to and undermining to a lot of different bits of continuity. But I think it's not just how WWE are going to go forward with these NXT call-ups, but more for us as viewers, how we can stay sane and not just get sucked into that rage vortex again, is to treat the Raw and SmackDown and NXT as separate continuities. These are separate characters. This is Earth 101.
Yeah, not 616.
Not 616 in Marvel. That, like, or DC's multiverse. They are just different timelines with different interpretations of the characters.
So with that all said and out of the way, because I think we've kind of like, we beat that horse to death, I'm pretty sure. I mean, people are still sending me messages going like, this is what you asked for, when it's not. And so my question to you, Ollie Davis, why the heckins were they called up in the first place?
From the reports, it's because Vince McMahon just decided ratings down, AEW's a thing. I want the best wrestlers that we have on the main shows to freshen up the main shows in the build-up to WrestleMania, I presume. And there's also a quote floating around that Vince McMahon doesn't see any of his current roster as being superstars.
That's incredible. Like, that's literal insanity. Because you booked them this way. Mm. Like, none of them are superstars because you've not made them any like feel special.
And then it's that there's another level of insanity because to get these new guys to become superstars, then they should just wrestle the same kind of match really with the same 50-50 or 90-10 percentage share of the match as usual.
Yeah.
When you know four at the same time.
These guys we got over here, they just don't feel special. So why do we have these guys debut and they'll just have regular matches.
Exactly. So that's why...
I will present them as everyday folk like you and I.
That's me Pritchardin' it, because WWE is in dire straits right now, like sort of ratings-wise. Financially, it's doing tremendously well, but I think creatively, on the Raw side of things, isn't. SmackDown side of things, it was great. Like, yep. The Kofi stuff, the Becky stuff, the Daniel Bryan stuff is the best stuff in WWE for a couple of years, I think.
And it's kind of remarkable. I was tweeting about this today. We're recording this on a Thursday, although it's airing on a Saturday. But I saw an article that was talking about SmackDown tickets. And it kind of brought to mind that essentially WWE have done irreparable damage to the blue brand by telling people for the last 20 years it's the B show and you don't need to worry about it. Because the arena they were selling in was selling tickets at buy one, get three free. So you were getting four tickets for the price of one. And that's like, and that was for floor seats.
That's enough for a new bunch of NXT call-ups to all attend the show.
And so... even though SmackDown has been the better show for all of 2019 and actually the tail end of 2018 and actually for the most of 2018, really. It had a bit of a ropey time during 2017, during the Jinder era. But I think it really picked itself back up despite a couple of like wobbly, you know, with the Carmella stuff, a bit wobbly along the way. But now it's really on fire and it's doing really great stuff. But it's just attendance is just down for that show because I think that like just creatively the company does feel a bit stifled.
Isn't it funny how SmackDown's down period came in the run of a Vince McMahon project?
Yeah.
Like, usually SmackDown's largely left alone by Vince, although he does have the final say on everything. But Jinder Mahal was a Vince McMahon project. He was giving him personal notes, going through his promos with him backstage. Just so happened that was the worst period in SmackDown since the brand split.
It was bad.
Why do you think the NXT call-ups happened?
So what, I'm only going by what the reports are. That's more why I was posing the question, so you could fill in the blanks of what the reports are, because we kind of covered the week's news. But it's Vince just felt that the main roster is stale. I think that was the other quote that I saw.
Yes,
that he felt that this was stale. But it also, I heard that he was furious about The Undertaker appearing at StarCast, which, although is not an AEW event, is... affiliated with AEW, and Vince was apparently very upset about it. I saw one report that said that he was trying to actively stop it, and I find it crazy as well. It was in the Observer this week that this is one of the few times in WWE history that a Mania card is not finalized, and all the matches are kind of like in flux, with the exception of Becky, Ronda, and Charlotte, and Lesnar Rollins. Like, those are the only two matches that are set in stone and are still there. Asuka was reportedly set to face Lacey Evans for the SmackDown title. That's been dropped now, even though they still want to push Lacey Evans as like the top three. They want it to be Lacey, Charlotte, and Becky as the top three female stars in the company following WrestleMania, but that can't come into effect until Ronda decides if she's leaving after Mania to start a family or she's sticking around for a bit.
And that you've also got the reports of Kevin Owens being the one to face Daniel Bryan, but that's still up in the air. Like, WWE, to their credit, have gone with the Kofi momentum. So maybe that storyline is continued as well. I suppose this ties into, you know, the larger question, what next for these NXT call-ups? And we just spoke about... we're on the road to WrestleMania. It's crazy that ratings are down so much and the interest in WWE is down so much. And like you said, ticket sales for live attendance. So as I'm trying to be optimistic and think, well, maybe it was a hell of a forced slapdash way of doing it. But maybe this is the start of the rebuilding phase.
Mm-hmm.
And you start to give these four guys wins and wins and wins, and then you build them up into actual storylines and feuds.
That's so when
you come into WrestleMania, maybe these four guys is that sort of changing of the guard pay-per-view we've fantasy booked forever. So you do, like one of the reports, Meltzer said that Vince is trying to get Undertaker to pull out of StarCast by promising him a WrestleMania payday. So, okay, Taker comes back. Aleister Black
versus The Undertaker.
He only has to take one bump. Just Black Mass and he's out. Yeah. And that's how you put them over. DX against DIY. I don't know.
Yeah, I would like to think that what I would like to see from Raw and SmackDown next week, Because that's the, so the report is that they're going to be across all three shows, which really does feel like this brand split is falling apart, like, day by day. The we didn't mention it in the review, but Sasha Banks and Bayley said that they were going to be defending their women's tag team titles in NXT. And I saw a report that said one of the fast lane matches could be a fatal four-way between Banks and Bayley against Nyra and Tamina versus a SmackDown team versus an NXT team, which to me sounds great. But it's more of this brand split is crumbling, and there are just some stars that are tied to certain brands, but then there are other people that can just float wherever for seemingly no reason, no storyline reason anyway. They've dropped all this. Oh, Shane and Stephanie are like fighting over contracts to sign these NXT people to their brand. Like, that's not been mentioned in weeks, because I guess that storyline's dropped. So here's what I would like to see from Raw and SmackDown next week. If these four lads are across all three brands, give them storylines. Give them a storyline reason to be there. If I watch Raw next week and it's just Aleister Black has a match that he wins,
A good showing.
And Ricochet has a match that he wins,
a good showing.
And Babyface DIY just have a match that they win,
in a good showing.
That does nothing for them. It does nothing for them, but it also does nothing for this quote-unquote stale product that you're presenting. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, that, like, it all ties together. You need to have storylines that we can get invested in. Like, you don't watch a soap opera and people just have scenes. Like, they have storylines that you invest in the character, and you're like, I can't wait to see where this storyline goes.
Well, that's reality TV. You just watch people
just doing things.
Yeah.
But at least they still have storylines. Mm-hmm. Like, Total Divas. I mean, I perhaps I'm going to be very bad at this, because I don't think I've ever watched a full episode of a reality TV show in my life. I don't think so. But
you're part of the solution.
Am I? But I assume they have storylines that'll have a start, a middle, and an end.
Oh, yeah, it's heavily produced. Yeah.
They're heavily produced, but they all have storylines to start and end, right? So why can't we put that in? Mm. Like, why don't we give them a reason to be there, and you have, okay, so I need to watch Raw next week because I need to see what the next part of this Aleister Black storyline is. Not that, well, I can't wait to watch Raw next week. Maybe he'll have another match.
Yeah. We need feuds. And like, if the WWE are very frustrating, but they, as you can tell on SmackDown over the recent weeks, they know how to do good TV. I would say 90% of the people in that company, unfortunately not the top, most of the top officials, it seems, like the Michael Hayes's and the Kevin Dunn's, are there being like, that this is how you make TV, like, there's a different way to make TV and week-to-week consistent programming. There is a better way to do this, but they're sort of stifled by the top. I'm just hoping that, yeah, that logic wins out and they do start to build these weekly programs.
I saw it was a really interesting report that I saw that said that Vince McMahon's had a bit of a wake-up call in the wake of AEW, because when he was told that All In was going to be on the weekend that it was, his quote was, well, that'll never sell out. That's a terrible weekend to book something. And he said the same thing about Double or Nothing. It was like, well, no one's going to be out. No one's going to buy a ticket for that show. Because they're both holiday weekends. And they both sold out faster than any of the shows that he's been putting on have been selling out as of late. And it was this almost like wake up. It was like, the report was essentially, is he out of touch with how the wrestling industry now works? An industry that he has controlled and dominated for 40 years. Mm. Is it now finally, has he lost it now? But I don't know. Yeah. Because every night, like, because you think that, and then he'll just pull out something brilliant. SmackDown's great. He has final say off, which means he does understand how this works, I guess. So he might just pull out that bit of genius, because he's always got something in his tank. We didn't even talk about, like, going into the deeper part of this news, that Triple H didn't know these NXT call-ups were happening. Mm. And Vince essentially did it behind his back, and he was stunned to see that these people were coming to Raw.
A miscommunication is how Meltzer put it.
Yeah.
So I think just for going forward, for WWE, we need WrestleMania programs, big-time WrestleMania programs, for these NXT call-ups.
Yeah.
Like John Cena-level matches.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
To make them feel big time, and for WWE to actually put their money where their mouth is.
Could you imagine if they're all in the battle royal?
That's what it's going
to
be.
Well, yeah, that was the report I saw. It was like, they were like, Mania. So I know we need to move on. Like, the Mania card's in flux. It hasn't been finalized. And then you read the report and it's like, they're in talks with The Undertaker and Batista and a Kurt Angle match. And they're trying to get John Cena. And you're like, you don't need them. You've got all these lads over here that you're trying to turn into stars. Give them the WrestleMania matches. Give them the big time matches.
Or you put the new guys with the old guys. And just for what next for WWE viewers and people who care about just nice NXT programming and takeovers, which is me, just treat it as separate continuities now. The people who were called up on Monday are different characters. Don't let it affect the incredible 3 years of storytelling that NXT has done. Just it will drive you insane.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
If you're wondering to yourself, what the heck is a crap gimmick? Well, that's a segment we do here each and every Saturday on the Wrestle Ramble, where you, the Swap Nation, send to us your crap gimmick submissions, and then we, the bookers of crap gimmick wrestling, decide whether we want to sign them or not. You can get in touch via luke@wrestletalk.com. Huge backlog. We're now picking them at random. So if you send them in now, it may get read out at some point. Let's go through, and then we do three submissions each and every week. This one comes in from Lee Hall, sent to us on August 12th. Hey, Luke, love the program. Here's my submission for crap gimmick wrestling. Now, I've had to condense some of this down because this was a ginormous email that was filled with a whole fantasy booking, which I really enjoyed reading, but I just wanted to break down into the, sort of the key points of the character, because we'll decide the storylines.
Oh, yeah.
We're the bookers here. You're the agents. You bring
but
us the
well
talent.
Done for the effort.
But well done for the effort, because it was genuinely very good. So, here we go. The temp is a temporary employee assigned to fill in at Crap Gimmick Wrestling. The temp's introduction to CG dub will entirely be in the background of shots during other wrestlers' promotions and backstage segments. In his first few appearances, he'll be in the background moving things around, setting things up, general odd job stuff. The camera won't focus on him, no one will acknowledge him, he isn't part of the scene, he's just a random guy working in the background. His appearance is very nondescripted. He'll look like every other average maintenance worker, but with a small name tag that says temp. So then he talks about how like he can like be on commentary one week, he can be a ring announcer one week, he can be a referee one week, because he's a temp. But how do we get him as an in-ring wrestler? Well, Lee continues. The Temps' in-ring debut will come as a fill-in announcer segment where the member of the babyface tag team will not make an entrance. Everyone, including his partner, will look bewildered for a minute because it's revealed that the face was jumped backstage earlier and cannot compete. As the announcers discuss this, the Temp will get a phone call, which he takes off mic. He'll come back with a, "Gentlemen, that was the agency. I'm sorry, I have to go." He will jump up, take off his sport coat and dress shirt, reaffix his Temp name tag to his t-shirt, and then go join the babyface corner. He is, of course, a very competent, efficient wrestler, but not a flashy one. He just gets the job done. For the Temp gimmick to work, he has to go away, but CG Dub can bring him back over time in random spots here and there as an announcer, wrestler, manager, but also as an arena parking lot attendant, security guard, paramedic, etc. The gag would work best if it doesn't happen too often, and if you don't spot, don't even call him there. Just let him be in shots wearing a paramedical guard uniform with the Temp name tag as an Easter egg for a long time CG Dub fans.
I love it. I think it's a great idea.
The temporary babyface, the temporary tag team partner.
I'm always fascinated by the cameos and people in the backgrounds of shots.
Yeah.
Like you know, like the guy who gave Braun Strowman the cake, or
yes.
Mick Foley's son Dewey was
Mr. Bootiesworth.
Mr. Bootiesworth, like those sorts of characters. I think it's like the sort of nerds in us, we get obsessive about background details.
Yeah.
And especially in wrestling, you like to latch on to tiny things, make them your own, like, for instance, 3MB and wrestling memes.
Yeah.
And you just get them over, and Heath Slater's going to slate and all that. You get them over, and they feel like your thing, rather than Vince McMahon has his thing. You know,
yeah.
I don't want to play with your thing. Well, we've got our own stuff.
And he has this really wonderful moment in his sort of fancy booking of that, like, he wins the tag belts, but then gets a call from the agency because he's got to go off and do a different job.
No.
And they have to then, like, vacate the tag belts or something.
So I think the only thing I would change is that he would do, like, yeah, he would go to do other jobs. It's not all just wrestling.
Yeah.
So that's some backstage, well, not backstage skits, but skits where he's in a call center one week or just but funny things like that. But he's, maybe I would have him as a huge wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's actually a huge wrestler shape. Because you also get those, the security guards that come down. You're like, yep, NXT, NXT. So if you make the joke that he's quite obviously always the plant, I guess that's more of the plant role than a temp. Mm-hmm. I guess that's a different character. I'm just getting hung up on the visual of him in the call center with a headset.
I think that still works as a temp.
Muscles.
I think that's good.
The other thing, I wouldn't have him as a commentary on commentary.
Mm-hmm.
I think that just, that makes him too part of it.
Yeah, yeah, I see what you're saying.
I want him to be more background as a referee or at ringside or as
the timekeeper.
The timekeeper.
Yeah. I am you, you are me, sends in on September 15th, the Bodfather. Bodfather is a father of five. He is bald, has long black neck beard, and has a massive dad bod, hence the name. He also wears a tight black t-shirt with long sleeves, thinking that it hides his massive bod, but actually it doesn't, however, because his gut tells him so. He is an overpowered wrestler who has anywhere from 30 seconds to 3 minute squash matches. He was forced to join the wrestling industry after his wife kicked him out of the house for being a lazy bum and doing nothing but sitting on his ass. His entrance consists of his four elder sons carrying a throne with the Bodfather sitting on top of it, the throne being daddy's favorite recliner, and the theme is an electric guitar cover of the Godfather's theme, brackets, the movie, not the wrestler. His manager or spokesperson is his youngest 13-year-old son, whose catchphrase is, "I'm telling my daddy on you, and my daddy's gonna beat you up." His sons are doing this out of pity for their dad because mum won't let him back in the house. The Bodfather's main finishing move is the bear hug, where he shouts, "Give daddy a hug," while crushing the ribs of his opponent. He also has another finishing move, the bod splash, which is his version of the frog splash, where the massive bod just crashes down on the helpless opponents from the top corner. So yeah, that is the Bodfather.
I got hung up on Charles Wright, Godfather.
Yeah.
I just assumed it was all a rip on that, but now you've said it's the Godfather as in
the movie version.
Yeah, the Francis Ford Coppola thing.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's better. I think that feels better. The electric guitar version of that theme as well just sounds awful. This is good. I like, you've gone in depth there about all the different moves. I like the bod splash.
Yeah, I like the bod splash. I like this. He fears absolutely no one except for his wife and promises wrestlers to ground them by taking their titles away until they behave.
Yeah, I think this is a strong gimmick.
Strong,
I like
strong
it
gimmick.
A lot. I don't know if I'd ever have the wife appear.
No, no, absolutely
yeah,
not.
Yeah, be the sort of Captain Mannering's wife
yes, or absolutely, yeah.
Niles' wife in Frasier for American viewers.
Yes, I like that. James Dillon sends in on December 21st, the milkmaid is a voluptuous young farmer's daughter with limited wrestling ability and an amazing body. Her outfit is cut-off overalls and a very revealing red tank top that displays her huge tracts of land. She comes down to the ring with a small milking stool and then she sits in the corner, suggestively leaning forwards towards her opponent. She refers to herself as the top 2% of all women's wrestlers on the crap gimmick roster and boasts that anyone who gets in the ring with her will get these mams. Any move the milkmaid actually pulls off in the ring is followed by celebratory jumping up and down that is sure to delight the fans. Her finisher is called the Udder Budder, which has the milkmaid bury her opponents in her ample cleavage before slamming them down like an X Factor.
Okay, of course.
So apparently Vince Russo is one of our fans.
Sexual exploitation is a huge thing in crap wrestling. It's a rich tradition.
Do you remember the pet trainer or the veterinarian?
Well, this is what I was going to come on to.
Yeah.
I think, well, we've had a previous gimmick submission called the veterinarian or whatever it was. And it's where a sort of lab coat dressed lady with, it seems like, large breasticles comes out. And she's like, who wants to see my puppies? And the crowd are like, obviously, way. And then she just brings out some really cute puppies because she's a vet and she worked very hard to get that degree. And she's very, very smart. That's this is the opposite of that. Where you take away all the nuance. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's a crap gimmick. It's an outdated gimmick, I'm afraid.
So
I like the top 2%.
That's funny.
With the milk,
yeah, I like
milk
that.
Reference.
So do you want the Bodfather or do you want the Temp?
I've got to go for the Temp.
Yep, Temp it is. And if you want to send a question into the mailbag, all you've got to do is become one of our awesome pledge hammers over on Patreon at any dollar amount. And you can just leave that comment right there in the community section. We've had a big influx of pledge hammers.
Oh, it's a lovely community.
Up in the lead up to Elimination Chamber. It's really cool. It's a very vibrant place over there. And you get loads of really exclusive, cool content. Shout outs from us. There's podcasts where we review old pay-per-views and when we have a few drinky poos and talk a lot of nonsense.
We put our bloopers up of when we recorded that music video.
We did indeed. It was good fun. So these questions come in. This one in from Anthony Marine. Do you think Bo Dallas should be Finn Balor's manager so he can tell everyone to believe in Finn?
I mean, no, I don't. It's that's funny though.
Yeah,
but
I like
think
it.
Finn's dropped it. Bo Dallas has also dropped that gimmick.
Yeah.
For a long, long time. I love that gimmick.
The Bo Leave.
Oh, him running out, the motivational speaker, Titantron, yeah. The way he bulldozed the luchador, El Torito.
Oh, El Torito, yeah.
It was a great time to be. I used to look forward to those Bo Dallas segments, but then he got drunk and sung Disney songs on a plane.
Luchador Craig asks, do you believe Raw is being sabotaged on purpose by creative? How can they turn the low viewership around and make the ratings better? Is it now time for Vince to retire? I see this a lot. People saying like, oh, they're purposely making Raw bad so SmackDown looks better for when they go to Fox.
Yeah, I don't know how that helps anyone.
Yeah, I feel that's proper tinfoil hat thinking.
For the others, well, we've talked about the low ratings. You just need... If you start booking a better product now, that's not the sort of thing that gives you better ratings next week.
No.
It's the sort of thing that pays off in a year's time because you build up credibility again and you get a fan base invested in you.
That's it.
That's what these NXT call-ups, like, if this was done to turn ratings around, you've got to know and be prepared that the ratings won't actually turn around for at least 6 months. Based on these guys. So if you've got that much time to play with, why not wait and debut them properly, make them feel special, video packages, squash matches, present them more consciously, and then build them up. So it you just play with that danger that it's going to be a month in, the ratings haven't improved because why would they have done? It's only a month. Like, look how long it took to get Stone Cold Steve Austin over. And then Vince goes, oh, it's these guys' fault. And they get booked into oblivion.
The key to that, though, is that you've got to have a plan in place. So you'd be like, okay, we'll announce them on week one. Then by week eight, we'll have done this. Here's what we'll do on week two, week three, week four, etc. Yeah. But what they do is they just... The problem with WWE is it's booked on the fly. Mm. And nothing is set in... So, like, the Gargano-Ciampa storyline in NXT would never have happened on the main roster because the minds would have been changed somewhere along the lines.
Yeah.
It almost feels like the Vince Russo like car crash booking that he did when he went to WCW, because he changed a couple of titles, the ratings popped, so we're like, well, cool, that's the solution then. We'll just keep changing the titles. And then when they did that, they devalued all the titles and people stopped watching.
It's hotshot booking. It's hotshot booking in the industry. And for the last bit, yes, Vince should retire.
Eventually, he'll be busy
over a decade. This is nothing new.
No.
He should have stepped down a long time ago.
But he will be busy with the XFL, because I think the argument he's had, the reason why the XFL failed the first time, is he wasn't fully focused on it. So I think this time he'll be so focused on it and he'll step aside. That's his passion project. Yeah. That's what he really wants to do.
But I think WWE is just going to get sucked into XFL promotion mode.
Oh, it's going to be... That's going to be very bad. Brent Camp asks, is it just me, or is Lacey Evans being completely misused? She's a former MP. I'm going to guess that doesn't mean like in the British political sense.
No, police.
I'd imagine so. And the first female SWAT member. She should be a female big boss man.
I thought she was a... Maybe it's a Marine thing, because she's a former Marine, right?
Yeah.
A good point. Yeah. As a character, she's this... pretty dainty lady from the South.
Yeah, she's a pinup model look. But like her gimmick is she's got the women's right. She's got the right fist is her gimmick. She's got like the knockout punch thing. And I think they do kind of play up, at least they did in NXT. And her logo now has kind of got that military vibe to it as well. And I think that with Lacey Evans, you will see her, if the reports are true, you will see her a lot going forward. If she is going to be like the third or in that top three mix of like the biggest female wrestlers they have, you're going to be seeing her a lot.
It's the military presentation of her, though, isn't like SHIELD or SWAT team style. It's the pin-up 50s throwback nostalgia style, which, yeah, it's a very different kind of character. Yeah. I don't look at the 50s or Captain America movie and go, you know, it stands for different values. And it's also problematic if you make that into a heel character. I don't know. Whatever it is, I don't like her current character, really. So, sure.
I like the way... I've always liked Lacey Evans' presentation. However, if you'd have said to me 2 months ago, oh, Ronda's going to be leaving, and so they're going to need a third person to be like in the top three people, and you could pick anyone from the main roster and NXT and NXT, who would you pick? Even if I wasn't choosing and I was predicting, Lacey Evans would have been very far down that list. Mm. There would have been, I could have thought of 15 other names that I would have put above Lacey Evans, and that might be a low estimate.
Emma, Lana. He's going to get one eventually. He's going to get a... He got Charlotte.
He did get Charlotte.
Charlotte's blonde.
Yeah. I mean, for starters, I would have made Asuka in that top three position. But then, I guess, what do I know? Reese Deegan asks, what is a match or storyline you know deep down is bad, but you can't help looking upon fondly? Your wrestling guilty pleasure. Personally, even though I've seen it reviews and I know it devalued the title, I love Miz as WWE champion. Mm. As a longtime Miz fan, it was nice seeing him as the top champion. Does the SWAP Nation have any similar storylines?
I know what you mean about Miz. I was into Miz as the champion at the time.
I hated it.
Well, I liked Miz, and he was like someone to root for against John Cena. He was The Rock's proxy in a weird way. But that's the problem. That all culminated in such a rubbish WrestleMania. I mean, my mind immediately goes to Big Boss Man, speaking of, driving Big Show's dad's coffin.
Yeah,
through a cemetery. I would show that to any person out of context and be proud.
As much as I love that segment, Bossman's poem about Big Show's dad is one of my all-time favorites, because it's so cruel. It's so horrible. There's a poem about the fact that Bossman is happy... and his dad is happy that he died of cancer because the Big Show is such an embarrassing son. It's horrible. It's so cruel. And he just ends and goes, and that's how I feel about Big Show's daddy being dead. Then it built to an awful 5-minute match at Armageddon 1999. Hmm. For me, it's the main event of Invasion. I know it should have been so much bigger, but when I think back and I was like Team WWF of Austin and The Undertaker and Kane and Jericho and whoever the other one was versus Booker T and the Dudley Boys and Rhino and DDP, and I'm like, oh man, it's the WWF versus the Alliance. And then you had the Stone Cold Steve Austin heel turn at the end of it. I remember like, what? But it was bad. But it is it is a bit of a guilty pleasure of mine.
I did, that question sort of falls down on whether you buy into the idea of guilty pleasures.
Well,
shouldn't
exactly.
All pleasures just be pleasures?
Shouldn't they just? We got time for one more.
One more.
This comes in for David Humphreys. We actually got a variation of this question elsewhere as well. Do you see Kofi Kingston winning the WWE Championship at Fastlane since he now has a championship match? I'd like to hear your thoughts on this. Just on that, someone else emailed in. Where is it? Bryn Bogfire also asked in about that same thing of Kofi Kingston, kind of comparing it to Eddie Guerrero's Road to No Way Out. And him winning the title there. He referenced it.
Which was a great moment.
Yeah, he referenced it because we reviewed No Way Out 2004 for our Patreon podcast. So,
That's such a good match.
It's a great match, isn't it?
Yeah.
So what do you think? Do you think that we can get a Kofi Kingston as WWE champion at Fastlane?
No. I don't. Like, if they're going to do something with Kofi, they'll extend the feud through to WrestleMania. My concern is that they won't, and this will be Kofi's big match, and then he'll go back down to the mid-card. But of all the possible ways to take this, I don't think the route is him winning at Fastlane.
No, I think if you're going to give him the big championship when you do that at Mania.
I mean, as big as a show of, like, WWE Fastlane is, of course, the biggest show of the year.
Obviously.
But WrestleMania is kind of where those things happen, weirdly. Yeah.
Although I would say, and I think Jack of Cultaholic made this point, which I think is a really smart point, which seems out of character for him. But he was talking about, like, if Kofi does win the WWE Championship at WrestleMania, you've also got Seth Rollins getting his moment winning the Universal Championship and ending Brock Lesnar's run as champion. And you've also got Becky Lynch getting her moment of winning the SmackDown or the Raw Women's Championship and finally beating Ronda Rousey. And if you have all three of those moments, does that devalue them as they sort of go on?
Yeah, there's an argument to that. I suppose, like, having all the baby faces go over. But if you're going to do that, WrestleMania, after just, you know, probably a year of the fans being worked over for heat by WWE, and then at the end of it, all our favourites win, I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
And what was the pay-per-view that ended with, like, CM Punk winning and having his title and Daniel Bryan
and Zack Ryder?
I was like, I don't look back at that pay-per-view and think, those guys got lost in the shuffle with all those really lovely wins and fantastic moments. I'm like, what a great moment that is.
Yeah, that felt like that was for us, that pay-per-view.
Yeah.
So Zachary Marsh got in touch about my trip to the barber shop, as you may recall.
Are you recovered?
My hair's growing back, which means my wife said to me, like, your hair's getting long. You're going to go back to that barber shop? I was like, I might have to. Hopefully that woman doesn't cut my hair, though. But we'll see. Anyway, Zachary emailed him to say, hello, SWAF Nation leaders, Luke, Ollie, and Laurie. I want to start this email by saying, sorry, it might be a bit long. I'm a huge fan of you guys, been watching since before Luke joined. This is my first time emailing in, mostly because I'm too shy. But with your story about the barber, I wanted to email in. I finally decided, F it! I'd like to tell you about one of my experiences getting my hair cut. Maybe this will become our new segment, like hairdresser stories.
Barbershop window.
The barbershop window! Oh, there it is. It writes itself. I don't know why I didn't think of it earlier. Anyway, where did we get to?
The hairdresser turned heel on you.
To give you a brief idea how I look, I have very long hair and a beard, kind of like Seth Rollins. Once every 6 to 12 months, I go to the salon to get my hair cut, usually 4 to 5 inches off, but I like to keep it long to tie it back. Almost every time I get compliments from the lady cutting my hair about how much she loves it and wishes her hair was like mine, although I've heard a couple of times over the years, and I quote, so we're cutting this all off, right? And I tell them, nope. Just a few inches.
This classic hairdresser joke.
Yeah. This time I got my hair cut was no different than usual. She cuts my hair and makes all awkward small talk, asks me what I do for work. Then she cuts my hair and I'm waiting for her to unclip the smock so I can get up and pay. When all of a sudden I hear trimmers, and before I can react, she is taking them to my beard.
Whoa.
I jolt away and act surprised and annoyed. What are you doing? She said she was just cleaning up my beard and asked if I wanted to keep the length. At this point, she'd already cut some of it off, so I let her cut my beard and it turned out great, but she didn't mention anything to me before just doing it. I would just like to let you know, Luke, how great you look with your hair like that. If you decided to cut it, that's your choice, but don't take others' criticism. I heard a lot when I was in high school, when are you going to get your hair cut? Why is your hair so long? Because I like it, my girlfriend likes it, my friends like it. Do what you like, Luke. If you guys want me
and
to write in...
And it makes me feel like a lady.
If you guys want me to write in more, let me know and I will try. Brackets, I love the new Ramble Club, by the way. Much love. Love you guys. Thanks for all you do. Heart, emoticon, Zachary.
I like that... The new Ramble Club's going down well.
Yes,
it's fun.
It is.
And
fun.
Considerably easier to record.
Yep, and I will also be able to talk about some wrestling because I've watched a bit of non-WWE wrestling.
Say what?
I watched the Pac-Will Ospreay match from Rev Pro that we didn't get to go to last weekend.
I might try and watch that too. We've still got the subscription.
We haven't indeed, because I'm also going to watch the Zack Sabre Jr. match as well.
I don't know how popular the barbershop window is going to be. How many hilarious hairdressing stories can there be out there? Oh wait, I've got one.
Oh, do you remember like when we used to do like way back when on this podcast, and you told the story about your trip to the Turkish barbers? Everyone
oh, that
loved
was glorious.
It.
Yeah, but, yeah. Well, there were a few.
Tell me another one.
There were a few. There was the one where I just started getting a massage from a 14-year-old kid.
The one with the fake DVDs.
The fake DVDs one is infuriating. It wasn't even DVDs. They were plain ripped versions of movies off YouTube.
Yep.
In a barber's that had so much swearing and gratuitous violence in. Like, it's 2 p.m. The kids are walking in and out. This was a long time ago. I was 24. My lady partner of a long time had just brutally broken up with me.
Oh, tough.
And I thought, hey, I'm a strong, independent woman. I'm going to go out. I'm going to get doled up. And I'm going to go out on the town.
Nice. Anyway.
So I fork out for an expensive haircut. It was £30 at the time, which in this day's money is $1,000,000. And I got in there and I was like sort of asking, you know, what's going on here with this receding hairline? He was like, oh, it looks fine. It looks fine. I mean, like, you're 35, right?
No.
And I was like, no, I'm 24. And he was like, oh, and he like probably started yelping. And he was like, it was just because you've got grey in your hair. I was like, yeah, I've had grey in my hair since I was 16.
Oh,
and he was
my.
Like, oh, it's fine. I mean, yeah, it's fine. And it was just so awkward. It was right at the start of the haircut.
Crikey.
Yeah, and I had a whole eyebrow threading thing afterwards.
Oh, how was that?
So painful. Have you ever had your eyebrows threaded?
Absolutely not. But sorry, that's just reminded
I don't think
me.
You need, they look self-grooming, those do.
That's just reminded me, actually. We got a message in from Pete, lovely Pete. He didn't get in touch via email, so that's why I've forgotten to read this out.
Oh, WrestleTyke Pete.
WrestleTyke Pete. He messaged me in our Discord server in the staff area to say, I've been spending a lovely 8-hour coach home catching up on a whole ton of Wrestle Rambles. I just came upon the one where you and Ollie mentioned getting your nose hair waxed, and unless it's done poorly, it really doesn't hurt that much at all.
Had it done?
I've had it done twice because I'm also a rather hairy man, and it feels great. Makes the eyes water a little, but other than that, very, very manageable. Just thought you should know. This is very important stuff.
It is on my bucket list, but I don't know how pressing it is. I want to get it done once, but it makes my eyes water thinking about it.
Yeah. So I don't know if you've ever noticed this about me, but my eyes water if I step outside. Like when I go outside, if it's a...
Because of natural light.
Yeah. If it's a sunny day.
Because you've got the beady mole eyes, haven't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If it's a sunny day or there's a slight wind, my eyes just water like anything. It basically looks like I'm crying because my eyes just get like it's like tears will just stream down my face.
Now you mention it, but I just assumed you were stunned every day by the beauty of Hackney Wick.
Yeah, it happens.
An industrial estate.
It happens all the time. Like there was, I went to go get a falafel wrap from the coffee shop up the way, by the time I got there, I had to like stop. I had to get like a tissue out to like dry my face because my eyes had been streaming so much from wind. Just anyway. So if my eyes will just stream like that from natural wonders like wind and the sun, I don't know how I would manage, like,
yeah,
in terms of getting my nose waxed.
Yeah, you'd cry for days.
Yeah, well, maybe when we do such savage punishments. Joseph has sent this email in. I'm in college right now, and I thought I'd share a story with you that happened. I was just chilling in the library, happening to watch the halftime heat NXT marathon, when a boy I have interacted with before, didn't really know his name or anything, but I went on and carried watching it when I noticed him occasionally glancing over at my screen. Ooh. I then went on to watch the North American Championship ladder match, and I showed him Ricochet springboard dive shooting star press. He was then hooked, and he didn't look away. Now he's subscribed to WWE's YouTube channel, so I believe I've just made him a wrestling fan. Been a listener for years, love the content, proud fan, Joseph.
That's quite nice. Well, so I imagine they're a child who has been transfixed by this.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
Why? What do you...
Well, like, yeah. They're
a college student, yes.
Oh. In my head, it was they'd never seen wrestling before, and it was this innocent, wide-eyed, nine-eyed kid. Nine-eyed.
Oh, my God!
This interdimensional other being
with pockets on their shoes
through then watching this and just being like, Ricochet can fly, he's a real life superhero, because watching
a video game come to life.
Yeah, watching kids watch wrestling and they're into it is so just and it's like wrestling that's made for them in a sort of heroic babyface way.
Yeah,
there are a few more 100% expressions of glee. It's remarkable.
Yeah.
So that's what I had.
I remember I've told the story before on the podcast, but when you and I went to a Raw taping, it's a couple of years ago now. I think I'd only just started here at WrestleTalk full time, and Roman Reigns came out, and the whole crowd just like echoed into boos, because you'd imagine
boo, the UK crowd. Boom,
you know, when that music hit, and I, you know, my instant reaction was to go, boo, but then I stopped myself and be like, I'm not going to be one of these people. And then I looked down to my left and there was this like 9-year-old dressed head to toe in Roman Reigns gear. He had the gloves and he had the t-shirt and he was up on his feet jumping up and down because his hero had just come out to do a wrestle. And I thought to myself, that's what this is all about really, isn't it? That's actually quite lovely. And here we are as our spiky things go, no, we wanted Daniel Bryan to be champ, not him.
As soon as you went to the toilet, I gave that kid a dead look. I ran in.
Did you do a Superman punch?
Yeah, like, because it was steps, I sort of used my momentum coming off one of the steps, led with my knee, so the full force of a 28-year-old man going down off as a higher position straight into his knee. He didn't just crumble. He didn't just immediately crumble and couldn't feel his leg, but he fell away from me over another row of stairs.
And then you stood over him and went, ooh-wah!
Yeah, and I triple powerbombed his dad with two other fans, who are real fans.
I mean, I was going to ask you what you got up to this weekend, but maybe we'll just draw a close there.
I think that's wise.
Yeah, I'm going to go try on suits. I'm very much looking forward to it.
Suits for £12, I imagine, well, breaking the budget.
For a wedding, I'm not paying for them. So they could be as expensive as they like, mate. I'm a groomsman.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that's why I make Chris Legend.
Am I not getting invited?
To Chris Legend's wedding?
Yeah, I've met him like 3 times.
What was the other 2 times? The other one time.
Your birthday, your wedding, your stag do.
Oh, well done. Yeah, fair enough. Anyway.
I should be invited.
That's all we got time for.
But I've got a fee. Like, it will be as a booking.
Oh, you're like the Undertaker at StarCast. $25,000 for it. Do you see
I heard $60,000 for a day.
It's $60,000 for 3 hours. It's a deal. So it's $25,000 an hour. Oh, no, $15,000 an hour. That doesn't make any sense. It's 25,000.
You'd save 15 grand.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's all we've got time for on this show. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back on Tuesday with the Raw review. Let's see what happens with those NXT call-ups. Maybe it'll be better. We don't know. Have a good weekend, everyone. I love you all. Goodbye. We'll be right back.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.